Holden's future in Australia remains shrouded in uncertainty. According to weekend reports, Holden HQ in Detroit has already taken the decision to close its assembly plant in Adelaide, which employs more than 1,700 workers. But in a last-minute, though temporary, reprieve, an official announcement has been put off until early next year. Late last week, the Prime Minister urged the company to state its intentions.
I think the message that we're getting from Holden is that they're in two minds. And I would like them to clarify exactly what their position is. They're weighing their options, and I think they owe it to the workforce, they owe it to the suppliers, they owe it to the people of Australia to say what they're doing. Are they staying or are they going?
Losing Holden would be a body blow to the South Australian economy and a setback for the state Labor government for sure, which goes to the polls in March. Premier Jay Weatherill will meet the Prime Minister on Thursday. Premier, welcome back to breakfast.
Thank you.
Premier, have you been told by Holden that a decision has already been made?
No, and that observation by the Prime Minister is a dishonest observation.
Which observation?
That somehow they're in two minds. The future of Holden's is in the Prime Minister's hands. They've made it clear what they need to stay and the timelines on which they need that decision to be made by the federal government. The federal government has instead decided to kick this into a productivity commission process in the middle of next year. Now they've panicked because they believe that Holden may be in making decisions soon about this matter, and so they're seeking to shift the blame to Holden. So they're hoping to be able to blame the productivity commission. Now they're trying to shift their blame to Holden's and suggesting that somehow they're in 2 months. Holden wants to continue to manufacture cars. They've pretty dispassionately put on the table what it will need for them to continue to do that and the timelines on which they need that decision to be made. And that has been recklessly ignored by the Commonwealth Government.
Well, you say Holden wants to continue making cars. That's not the what we're reading on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We're hearing that Detroit has made up its mind, but it's holding off the decision because it doesn't want to book the closure in the coming financial quarter. It's made up its mind it's going to go. Have you spoken directly to Holden about this?
Yes, and they deny that. And what you're hearing is federal ministers, you've got to remember there is a struggle here going on at the heart of the federal government. The right-wing ideologues do not want to provide funding for industry support. And they're getting a bit worried that Ian Macfarlane may be getting some support inside the Cabinet for that proposition. So they are backgrounding journalists about the fact that Holden is about to close. The ABC reported that senior ministers were telling them that Holden had made this decision. At a time when Holden was actually down at the plant in Elizabeth telling them that there was a positive future for them.
So, well, someone's lying here, aren't they? I mean, they've either made the decision or not.
No, I think the truth is this. They've made it very clear what they need for the future, and the federal government have recklessly ignored that. They were hoping that by playing this very high-stakes game of poker with Holden's, that Holden would simply was involved in some try-on here. But Holden's have been very clear what they need for their future. What they need is for Tony Abbott to put back the money that he took out, the $500 million, and continue the present level of funding for the automotive assistance scheme. If that continues, we have a future for Holden's.
Premier, I just want to get this absolutely clear, because as I say, the stories have been pretty clear. Senior ministers saying the government's been told. Have you spoken to Mike Devereaux? Have you spoken to someone at GM in Detroit?
I've spoken to Mike Devereaux, and he's denied these claims.
So Mike Devereaux says there has been no decision made?
Yes.
Is it your understanding that senior ministers have been told directly from Holden that there have been a decision has been made or not told that?
No. What is happening is they are briefing journalists in a way which is calculated to create the most hostile environment. What we have today, it reported that Mr. Josh Frydenberg, a parliamentary secretary, is saying that support for the car industry is tantamount to intergenerational theft. I mean, what sort of investing climate does that make for a large international company when you describe support for the car industry, support which I might add is provided to every car industry everywhere in the world. So everybody that makes cars, their governments support their industry in one way or another by levels which are greater than here in Australia. So US, $264 per citizen. Germany, $90 per citizen. Australia, $18 per citizen.
I want to come to the funding in a minute, but just to stay with what's going on here, because as I say, these reports are consistent and they keep on coming, and they say that GM has made the decision to close the... If GM has decided to close the operations, then this isn't Tony Abbott's fault, is it? It's out of his hands.
But they haven't. The front to actually suggest that Holdens are in two minds, when Holden have made a very clear proposition to the government, and it's the government that have actually kicked this decision into the middle of next year. I mean, this is all about blame shifting. Holdens have asked for something to secure their future, which is to essentially continue the funding that they have at the moment into the future. So the currency assistance scheme would continue at its present level. It was slated to taper down. It should continue at its current level, and they should put back the $500 million they took out, and they should make that decision by Christmas. That's what's been put on the table. The federal government ignored that, kicked their decision into the middle of next year, and somehow they're pointing the finger at Holdens and saying that Holdens are in two minds. The only people that are in two minds about this are a divided federal government that have a group of right-wing ideologues on one side and a group of more pragmatic people that actually realise that we need a car industry in this country if we're going to have an advanced manufacturing industry in this country.
It's 12 past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill. Premier, who do you think it is within Cabinet who has been suggesting they've been told by Holden that they know they're going to close?
Well, look, I don't know. I mean, but I'm sure the ABC would not have reported senior government ministers if they did not, in fact, have senior government ministers as their source. And, you know, one doesn't need to look very far to work out who that might be. Mr. McFarlane has been systematically undermined in his role as industry minister. He very quickly checked with Holdens and confirmed what I've just told you today, that they've made no decision. There is nothing inevitable about the closure of Holdens. The future of Holdens is in the hands of Tony Abbott, the Prime Minister of this country. It is down to him. What he should be doing is fronting up to those 13,000 workers in South Australia and the tens of thousands of workers across this country and explaining to them why he is actively undermining the future investment decisions of this company.
So in dollar terms, let's talk dollars, because the Prime Minister spoke money on Friday. He said, we think there's more than enough money on the table and there is no more. What is it exactly that Holden wants? Would Holden be persuaded to stay operating, do you think, if the federal government reneged on its promise to cut short $500 million funding that's already been, $500 million that's already been included?
Well, the first thing, let's just...
Would that be enough?
Well, yeah, I'll get to that, but let's just analyse that remark. So, not a dollar more, apparently, now. What on earth is the Productivity Commission looking at then? So, they've actually completely undermined their own process. Productivity Commission set up to find out what was needed to support the future of car manufacturing. That's what Mr. McFarlane thought he was doing. That's what he told us all when he announced it. And we have the Prime Minister saying, well, that's all gone. There's not a dollar more. What a charade that we're actually, we're there in good faith participating in this process, a process we thought was unnecessary, but nevertheless, they set it up, so we cooperated with it. Now we can see that it's the complete charade that it is. But essentially what we've asked for and what the Holdens have asked for is the $500 million cut to be restored and for automotive assistance, instead of tapering down from $300 to $200 million over the next five-year agreement, stay at the $300 million level.
So that's still quite a handout. If you add the money that Holden has received over the past 12 years, already it comes to $1.8 billion in federal government assistance. That's without South Australian government assistance. A lot of taxpayers think that's an awful lot to prop up a foreign company, in a sense. This has got nothing, you know, you could argue this doesn't have anything to do with politics. It's all about economics. If Holden can't be viable without that level of support, why should taxpayers keep handing it money?
Here's the economic argument, Fran. Every country that actually has a car industry supports it by rates which are far greater than we do in this country, as I said before.
But some countries, and many over the past 20 years, have decided not to keep doing that and to kiss goodbye to a car-making industry.
None that have ambitions to be a manufacturing country. So you're talking at the countries like the US, the countries like Germany, who all have high wages, who all have, in some cases, quite high currencies, have managed to find an advanced manufacturing future for themselves, but they understand the crucial role that car making actually plays in those advanced manufacturing futures. The way in which this industry works is that it is the industry that takes proven technology, takes it at scale, using cutting-edge management and operational practices and actually turns it into this mass-produced vehicle that is the car industry. That is an essential component of an advanced manufacturing economy. That's why these countries pay for it. They understand that it's the thing that transmits productivity to the rest of the economy. So when you talk to places like OneSteel, who supply steel to the car industry here in this country, they say, we are a different company because we supply into the car industry. The requirements around quality, new product design, exposure to the latest management practices, it is an engine room. It's like a training academy in your economy to actually turbocharge your advanced manufacturing industry. And if you otherwise, what are you? You're an economy that just digs things up or grows things and puts them in containers. We want to make things in this country.
This is an argument that has been always used for supporting subsidies the car industry, and by and large, you know, the governments and the community has bought it.
And it's a good argument, Fran. That's why we've bought it.
We were speaking to, I think, is one of your manufacturing advisors, Joran Roos, last week, who said, yes, there is a case for ongoing subsidies for a car industry because of that very thing you're talking about there, but that the car industry and Holden needs to give more commitment to encouraging new manufacturing industries to work off the kind of R&D that Holden does. That should be one of the benchmarks, one of the measures
Absolutely.
That Holden be judged on.
Absolutely.
What should Holden have to give, in your view, in exchange for any kind of ongoing guarantee, which I must say on PM's words looks unlikely, but any kind of ongoing government guarantee in terms of benchmarks?
I think that is the question, that what is the accountability Holden needs now for that public money? And I think it is things that Professor Roos has been advising us about. These are the very things, by the way, that we've put on the table. He's been a long-term advisor to the South Australian government and more recently to the Commonwealth government.
So what are they? Can you explain to the taxpayer what would Holden have to give in exchange for more ongoing
Making
money?
Sure that we have a discrete element within Holden's global manufacturing plan. So a discrete element that allows us to find a niche that can permit them to export and have a long-term sustainable future. Secondly, making sure that those automotive component manufacturers that are now going to be part of a global supply chain are fit for purpose. Those that aren't are able to transition, remembering that a lot of these component manufacturers had actually put a lot of their hopes in Holden's. They've been asked to integrate into Holden's operations. Many of them have put their diversification plans on hold because of that. They should be given time and also support from Holden's to diversify into other things if they can't be in the car industry.
So that would mean Holden putting its investment dollars on that side of the ledger to encourage these component manufacturers to diversify?
Not necessarily. They could use their balance sheet strength. They could use their relationship with financial institutions. It could be a timing issue about how they transition to different suppliers. There are a whole range of things Holden can do. These are things we've put on the table and having detailed discussions with Holden's about these matters. I mean, look, this is sophisticated industry policy. Compare this to the flat earth policy that's being proposed by the coalition. Complete contempt for these workers and their families. Just cut them off and just hope that 13,000 workers here in South Australia are going to find some job somewhere. Just absolutely impractical and ideologically driven by a group of people within the federal caucus and the federal cabinet who have absolutely no understanding of how industry is constructed in this country.
Premier, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jay Weatherall is the Premier of South Australia, very concerned about the potential loss of Holden and those 1,700 jobs at the plant if it closes. There's a state election in South Australia in March. Jay Weatherall will be meeting with Prime Minister Tony Abbott on Thursday. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:20.